Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
Well, good afternoon, and a beautiful day it is here in Greensboro, North Carolina. Today, I thought we would do things backwards because that keeps you on your feet. So we're going to have our special guest today, who's a lovely young lady, tell us some stuff, and then we'll go into the sermon. So, Josie, are you there?
I am.
All right. This is Josie Milner. And tell us, what it is that you did last weekend.
Well, I actually just got back from Nashville. I was in Nashville for CMA Fest. I was down there Sunday through Sunday for a whole week, and it was absolutely amazing. I went last year, and last year was my first time going, so this year is my second time going, and this year is so much more productive than it was last year. I met so many amazing people. I had so many different showcases. I just had an absolute amazing time. Plus, I was able to go to the CMT Awards, which was really awesome.
yes, that's awesome. You know, a lot of people don't really know what a fest is. I've been through several of them. Why don't you give us a second and explain what the CMA Fest is all about?
Well, the CMA Music Fest is kind of just a little celebration that Nashville has every year. It runs about a Thursday through a Saturday, sometimes Sunday, just kind of depending on how much they have going on. But, you know, it's just kind of a place. It's in Nashville. It's held in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's just a place for country music fans to go down and listen to great country music. You know, kind of maybe meet some of their favorite singers, go around and talk to people, meet new people, and just have a really good time. It's just definitely pretty much a huge celebration of country music.
I love it. Next to spiritual music is country and western for me. So, gee, maybe I should go next year. I can run into Kathy Mateo or somebody, huh?
You never know, honestly. I was... like I said, I got to meet a couple people myself, and it was pretty funny because before I was able to find a fanfare, which was kind of the big convention that they have down there where people can go walk around, and I had in the green room before I went out to go sign, and I just casually was sitting next to Dustin Hunt, who's an up-and-coming country music artist, and it was pretty cool. You know, I just casually sit next to him. He's eating his dinner, so I didn't want to disturb him, but, you know, I was just sitting next to him like it was no big deal.
Well, if the Journey 8 takes off and flies as anticipated, maybe next year will be the year that I can sit and interview everybody. I'd be in seventh heaven, that's for sure. So let's start with a little bit about who you are and your latest two singles, I guess they are, right?
Yeah, that sounds good, yeah.
It's yours. Take it away.
Okay. All right. Well, like you said, my name is Josie Milner. I am 18 years old. I actually just graduated high school on May 8th, so a little over a month ago I graduated high school. I've been doing country music now for roughly four years, and I absolutely love it. I never expected to be in the position that I am today with my music. Before I got into doing my country music, I actually did rodeo. I did rodeo for 8 years. And that's kind of where stuff started. I was singing the national anthems on my rodeos. And, you know, if ever they needed someone, I'd run up there really quick, go sing, and then go jump back on my horse. And so that's kind of stuff where really started. But then in 2010, I was invited to sing at the National Civitar Convention in St. Louis, Missouri. And that's where stuff really kicked off. I was able to perform on the main stage down there. And after I got done, I had a lot of people coming up to me and telling me they really enjoyed performance, that they loved hearing a new voice, and that I should really think about getting into country music because they could see me have a good career with it. And so, you know, people tell me that, I definitely had to pay attention to it. So I talked to my parents about it, and they're like, well, we try a little of everything, so let's throw this into the batch as well. So my mom and I started researching the career and just kind of looking into it and really just held auditions to get a band together and pretty much jumped into it. And, you know, so far things have taken off great. Like I said, I had a very successful trip to Nashville, and I've been to Nashville several times now. And, you know, things are just doing really good for me.
Good. So Christmas is coming around the corner. Are you thinking about doing anything music-wise, like a Christmas album? Or?
You know, I actually am thinking about it. We were kind of thinking of doing a short release last year, but we just didn't get around to it in time. But I do think it's something that we're looking into. You know, I think it's really cool when artists release, especially Christmas albums, because it just seems kind of more intimate than a regular album, I guess you could say. So I am looking into it, honestly.
Well, you can send me one of yours, and I'll send you one of mine. How's that?
That sounds good. That sounds good.
That's the only time of the year I record, is at Christmas time. So, the one song that I'm really interested in, and I'm sure you're going to know before the words come out of my mouth, is Good Enough with the tag to it for bullying. Tell me how that came about.
Definitely, yeah. Not Pretty Enough was a song that my manager, Michael, found. He was watching a horror movie, which always makes me laugh whenever I tell people that, because you never would think of that song in a horror movie. But, you know, he listened to it, and he's like, wow, this could be a really good song. So he sent it over to me, and I love the song. I loved what it stood for. I loved what it represented. And so we just kind of started talking about it, and we ended up going to the studio and doing that song. And, you know, it turned out so well. It was originally recorded by Casey Chambers, which is an Australian artist, and it did fairly well for her, but it's never been released over in the U.S. before, and so I did it. And, you know, whenever I released it, people loved it instantly. I constantly have people message me about how they love the song and what it stood for. So it really made me feel proud to know that people enjoyed it. And with that song, I became a spokesperson for a national anti-bullying organization, Angels and Doves. They're a nonprofit bullying organization that goes around to schools and talks to people about bullying and what you can do to help end it and how you can stand up and how you handle the situation. And so, you know, they're just a great organization that's really trying to make a difference. And I've really noticed that here lately, you know, in the media, I think bullying's been hit pretty heavily and pretty hard. And I think people are really starting to notice that it's a serious situation that needs to be dealt with. So, you know, I'm just definitely very proud to be a part of them and, you know, to take a stand against it.
Yeah, interesting enough, and I don't know if I told you, I line up people that fit into the sermons that I do, and bullying was on the list when I saw your bio, and I thought, what a great thing for a young person who usually wants to be involved in, you know, high profile, you know, what I call foo-foo stuff, to take something so seriously, because it is serious. It really is. So
I
tip my hat to you. Now, just so you know, we have queued up both of your songs, Cowgirl and, you know, I want to say Not Pretty Enough, because there is another song that, you know, kind of goes with that, but I would like to play, give our audience a chance to hear. Which one would you choose?
Well, let's go with Not Pretty Enough, because, you know, I just think that one's a really good song, and it did really well for me.
So which one is it? Not Pretty Enough.
Not Pretty Enough, yeah.
Hey, when you get old like this, you too will have no memory.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm young, really. No, I'm old. No, I'm young. All right, so we're going to go with Not Pretty Enough, and go ahead, Mr. Engineer.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken? Should I try it harder?
Record like that that's just gone crazy and hearing yourself singing it, you know, like on the radio. I mean, it's gotta be weird.
It's exactly what you said. It's crazy, you know, like I was saying, I never expected to be doing so well and be having my music played all over the place and, you know, just really having people enjoy it. And so I just feel truly blessed and truly fortunate to be able to do the career that I'm doing at such a young age. And it's crazy. And as far as listening to myself, I actually hate listening to myself. Like, if I hear my song on the radio, the first time I heard myself, I listened to it because I just thought it was so cool. But, you know, I think it's weird hearing myself. It's weird. I know.
It's crazy. The first time I was in the studio recording my first Christmas album, when they played it back for the very first time, I'm going, whose voice is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, I have all of 13 listeners, so no, I don't want to say that. That is phenomenal. What we'll do is we'll take the second song and use it as the break song, if you don't mind, after you and I are done talking and before I go into the message, and you're welcome to listen to the other half of the show or whatever. One of the things I did want to ask you, because you are so young, and we've seen so many young artists lately go astray. I love live radio. I do. It's like live TV, you know? And that's one of the things that drew me to it. Was that I could hear myself. I can, you know, I don't have to censor any of my guests. I just let them say what they want to say. And sometimes it's interesting, right?
So, I understand that. I do.
I'm sure you get up. You get up on the stage every once in a while, and your mind goes blank. Come on.
Oh yeah. Oh no. There's been several instances where I go to start a song, I can't remember how the lyrics go, or my microphone's not working, or something's going wrong. So, oh yeah. Oh yeah. I understand.
You can see all these people down in the audience going, what is this girl doing here? She doesn't know her song.
Don't worry about it.
Well, you know, I have to say that you have a very good and sound sense about you. I hope you keep it in this crazy industry of country music. And, you know, if there was one thing you would want to do before the end of the year, what would it be?
Oh, goodness. You know, if there is one thing I could do, you know, I really don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I want to do, and as long as I get a chance to do it, I'll be okay. I guess as far as by the end of the year, I definitely want to release some more singles. I actually have my next one coming up here pretty soon. And so, you know, just definitely keep working with my music. And as long as I'm performing, as long as I'm still out doing this career, I'll be happy. I don't know. There's not really anything that my mind's set on that has to be done before the end of the year. I mean, if I can go back to Nashville, I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah, I suppose that was a trick question, huh? What's your next venue? Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I actually have a show this Thursday, which is after tomorrow, I guess, and it's going to be just kind of a local, it's an acoustic set up here in Kansas City, Missouri, and so I have that Thursday, and then on July 4th and 5th, I'll be down at the Lake of the Ozarks at a couple places down there, which I'm very excited about, and then I just have some other things coming up here and there, so you can definitely just check me out on Facebook, Josie Milner, Josey Milner, just check me out on my Facebook. And I have all my bookings on there. You can look at my website, josiemilnermusic.com, or you know, just follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. I'm always posting about all my shows and my interviews, so definitely a pretty good way to keep caught up.
Yeah, really. Now, if somebody wanted to buy the single, can they buy it from your website?
You cannot buy it from my website, but you can buy it from iTunes, which is what I have it on, iTunes and Amazon as well. So, but you can go listen to it on my website. I do have that on there.
Okay. All right. I have your website listed on my page on BBS. And usually once I interview someone, I keep a running chart, I guess, because you'd be surprised how many people email me and contact me 2 weeks after an interview and go, I didn't get that girl's email address. So I just started kind of like a blog, you know, previous guests, and that way they can find your email and your website a lot easier than waiting for me to answer an email, which they could die.
I can see that.
So great. So let me ask you one more question before I let you go, and that is, if you had a magic wand, I guess. And this is a question that's asked of pastors all the time, too. What one thing would you think make life a little bit better? And I'm not going to say here in America, but better throughout the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't get too philosophical on me now, you know.
Well, you know, I think good country music can definitely make everything better because country music is just wonderful.
Yes.
But, you know, I just think appreciation and kindness, you know, if people were to appreciate and, you know, just appreciate everything that they're given and every chance that they're able to have and every person they get to meet, then I think the world would be definitely a lot better place. You know, they'd have a lot more respect for people and there'd just be a lot more kindness around. And you know, I just think appreciation would be a huge thing. Like I said, you know, the thing I've always made sure I tell people is that I appreciate how much they've helped me, and I appreciate everyone helping me get to where I am today, and, you know, just all the opportunities they've had. So definitely probably appreciation.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I hope that when you go through your path and your journey, that don't get too big to come back and visit this old preacher and have some more fun. Is there any last words you want to say before we cut into your second song and leave you?
I just want to say thank you. I definitely always like saying thank you to you guys and all the radio DJs and the interviews that I'm able to have. So, yeah, just kind of thank you for helping me out for, you know, just kind of talking with me about my music and whatnot. I definitely appreciate that. you know, like I said, thank you to anyone that's ever helped me get to where I am today. And thank you to my manager, Michael, and to my family for always supporting me. And, you know, just a huge thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. So, like I said, you're free to stay on the line, listen, or whatever you'd like to do. I know you're a busy person, but it's kind of an interesting message. I struggled with it all week. God does that sometimes. And I appreciate you coming on, and I really enjoyed talking to you, okay?
Well, thank you. I do have to get back to work. I would love to stay on, but thank you so much.
Okay, and you have a good day. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, so we're going to play her second song called Cowgirls, and whenever you want to cue it up, Mr. Engineer, we can do that.
In my way with my Justin boots and my Miss Me jeans, my favorite wet and wild lipstick, number 503.
Okay, well, that was Josie Milner, and I gotta tell you, she's gonna, I would almost, if I was a betting person, say, she gonna make it. You're gonna see her name, for sure. So we're gonna flip, like I said, I chose to do today's program backwards. I don't know why, maybe because it it just felt right. Now, I wanted to talk to her about the bullying campaign and to mention again the group that she's involved with is called Angels and Doves. I will have that information along with her website and stuff on my blog by tomorrow. So please take a look if you you forget who it was. All my previous guests will be blogged. That's kind of, I hope that's not like being flogged. No, it's not. Okay, so I'll flip hats and I have the pastor's hat on now. And we're going to talk about what Jesus said and God said about bullying. Now, I want to forewarn you all that, forewarn you, I guess it's not, but I struggled with this sermon all week. And part of that is because I was bullied as a kid. I was one of those egghead kids that, you know, with the pocket protector, except girls didn't use pocket protectors. And so this was hard in some respects. And I hope that it brings a blessing to you. So here we go. Last Tuesday, we spent some time learning about how God expects us to have a servant's heart and to behave with humility, kindness, and without vengeance here on earth. And I think that's quite a novel concept. Now, the message was kind of a lesson on how you should be thinking of yourself and others. As usual, we followed Jesus and the disciples on what I call my virtual trip to see what new lesson they may be working on. And that's how I read through the Bible, kind of put myself in that place wherever they're at. So we dropped in at the Jesus Daycare Center for Disciples to see what was going on. Yes, that was an eye-opening time. Just to learn how Jesus has been trying to get these men he had picked to catch on to the basic principles of heaven, only to see them falter and act, well, like daycare children act. This time it was James and John and their mommy Dearest who took the lead, of course, mommy in the charge, to convince Jesus they needed to be first in line when it came to handing out seats in heaven. Yep, you heard me. That's the way it was going. The seating wars had begun. Oh, the fun that came from that. So I do have to admit sometimes the disciples actually came close to getting it right and picking up on what Jesus was teaching them. Obviously, eventually they got it because they then became our apostles. Then, like other times we just talked about with the James and John situation, all Jesus could do is shake his head and walk away until he could handle them, sort of like a personal timeout. Anyway, you can listen to the whole story in the archive section of my main page at bbsradio.com/thejourney8. Wait, don't slash the journey 8. That's a forward slash. Okay. Anyway, so today we're going to tackle this subject of bullying. And we're going to take a little time and learn how God feels about bullying. And I chose two stories from the books of Matthew and the book of Mark. And we're going to take a look at that. Now, the first thing you need to know is that in the time that Jesus walked the face of the earth, there was no such word as bully. In fact, there was no word in any of the languages that directly translated to bully. Most often when the scriptures describe a tyrant, the Hebrew word used translates to oppressor. And I think that's quite accurate. No matter what the words were, it's clear that to any theologian that person is a bully. Okay, so let's move to the first story, see what happens here. The first story takes us to a mountainside where Jesus is intending some quiet time with the disciples until he looks up and sees a huge crowd gathering again. So he asks the disciples to have everyone sit down and listen to what he is going to say to them. The words he spoke are now what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Why would I pick the Sermon on the Mount to explain how God feels about bullying? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let's see if we can make it fit, as they say. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' longest and most read sermon. It contains many teachings wrapped up in one story. The statements Jesus made that day were so profound and spiritually moving that even today, they give us the standard of how we should be living our lives. He speaks of vengeance and grudges and hostility and what we now call bullying in the 21st century. While speaking to the crowd during the sermon, Jesus left no doubt on how his Father in heaven felt about oppressors. And remember, during this time, they are living under the Roman Empire and are terribly oppressed. So we're going to flip to Matthew 5, 38 through 48, which clearly states what needs to happen with those who seem to have an open contempt for you and won't leave you alone. During his teaching, Jesus was asked about retaliation. When you have been wronged, what do you do? How do you retaliate? And here is his response. I'm sure you've heard these words. You've heard it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him also have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Yeah. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's a very misused passage in the Bible. Even today, I hear people use it. It was actually spoken by God to the Hebrews way back in the Old Testament. He never intended it to be taken literally, though. Instead, it means that secular justice is to be equitable. You know, neither excessively harsh or excessively lenient. There's no reference in the scriptures, and I want to make this perfectly clear. There is no reference in the scriptures that upholds the maiming of a person in conformance with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I know that might disappoint some people, but it's true. Also, right before God spoke this passage to the Hebrews, he established their judicial system back then. And that system would not have been necessary if simple eye for an eye retribution were proper. Why would he put a court system in place? So, you know, eye for eye, tooth for tooth is not literal, you know. And that whole court system that was part of the Levitical laws was basically to hear, you know, issues around punishment and to settle, arguments, shall we say, kind of like our small claims court today. So more often than not, the actual claims and harms, shall we say, in the Old Testament, except for those requiring capital punishment, were settled by payment in goods because that's how people bartered back then. So, you know, it's kind of like one guy saying, I'm sorry I stole your calf for a sacrifice. Here's two goats. Or whatever. Anyway, the three times in the Old Testament where the phrase an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth is mentioned all relate to this civil situation that I just talked about. And it's not meant to be a means by which to harm someone physically. Now, the problem with that is that we flip forward to the time of Jesus, and it's precisely what the Pharisees and Sadducees, the foo-foos, of the temple did with it. They took a divine principle and they made it into a matter of daily vendettas. Why would they do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Why they did that is money, of course. If they were able to do that and people had to come and basically buy their pardons, who benefits from it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just as Jesus believed that many people had used the ancient statement by God as an excuse to enter into conflict. And here's the thing with conflict. You can resolve it in a peaceful way, according to the way Jesus has asked us to resolve it. Or you can enter into the conflict of no resolution. That's what I call it. Conflict of no resolution is two people are button heads, and in many cases where someone is too overbearing with someone else, instead of following the example Jesus just set, they resort to the misapplication of an eye for an eye, and wham, a battle ensues. Who wins this battle? Nobody. Nobody wins. Nobody wins when a bully is pushing against someone else and a battle ensues, a battle either between parents or whatever. You know, friends get lost, families get lost, and no one wins. I'm going to speak something very honestly to any of you who are parents out there of a child that may be getting pushed around at church or at school. Oh, please, not at church. I want to ask parents to stop telling your children to stand up to that bully at school and punch him back. That will only get your child in deeper trouble. You see, the bullies of the world pick on a child or another person because he knows he can win that fight. Bullies are cowards. Bullies are people that only pick on people they know they can win, that they can, you know, manipulate. Don't tell your child to punch him back. Don't make your child a punching bag. Follow the example of Jesus. Turn the cheek and turn it over to those in charge at his or her school, to the pastor, to whoever you need to reach out to. It will bring a smile to a lot, including God, if you learn to handle conflict in a positive way at a younger age. As mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, a great amount of information and teaching was all geared towards life of peace and justice. When we exercise love for ourselves and our neighbor, then positive self-esteem comes naturally. So a bully cannot be a bully if you basically walk away. Or when you're cornered and offer no resistance, the game gets boring for him or her after a while. Okay, moving on. I mean, I hope that makes sense to you. Our second example of this concept of bullying or outright harassing happens at a time later in the ministry of Jesus. In fact, it happens right before he's betrayed and has a hand in him being betrayed. And so here Jesus is doing his thing in the temple. You know, he lives in the temple. Well, he doesn't live in the temple, but he is in the temple whenever he's not out and about preaching. You know, he's been teaching in the temple since he was 12 years old. So here comes those Pharisees and Sadducees, those foo-foos of the temple. And they say, in trying to trap Jesus, what was God's greatest commandment? Now, the reason why they want to trip up Jesus is so they can then accuse him of being a false prophet, and they could get him out of their hair without a lot of trials and big bad stuff happening. A false prophet was basically executed. So, unfortunately, he did not play their game. He responded to them straightforwardly and with confidence. And you can find it in Mark 12:29-31. And again, I'm sure you've heard this. Jesus responds to their question as follows. The most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord with your... Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is likened to this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the bullying would cease. As a result of Jesus answering the question correctly, the more lethal plan of betrayal was played out, which ended his life, basically, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees thought they were done with him. It always makes me sad and concerned when I hear stories where someone has broken those commandments in a violent way and hurt and pain were the consequence. Some believe and have voiced this to me that school shootings, terrorist bombings, and other unacceptable behavior are a result of a loss of love and respect for another human's life. I can't say I disagree with that. I believe with all my heart that God cries whenever oppression in any form happens. And when it has gone too far and the victim has not found sanctuary and help in a safe place, if somebody today feels pushed beyond capacity, find help, not a gun. Call your local church and separate yourself from the person or persons that are your oppressors. Get help, not revenge. Your local church or, you know, outreach programs should have some place where you can work on this problem in a positive way. In the 21st century, 2,100 years after Christ, we still have yet to learn what the disciples were being taught in the Jesus Daycare Center for Disciples. How many of you need a timeout and a visit to this place for a while? It's never too late. I would just like to say that for those of you who have not listened to me before, I'm sure there's one or two of you. Please understand, I may slide a fast little quip in my message now and then, mostly to wake you up or get your attention. But some of that comes from my natural sense of humor and teaching style. But I assure you, with all my heart. The sincerity of the words I speak always come from a serious, Christ-centered heart. And by the way, God likes to laugh, you know. In regards to today's message, which was truly a hard one for me to write, I believe that the damaging of someone's self-esteem and courage can be as close to murder as possible on a mental and spiritual level. It breaks the human down and turns our hearts away from the core meaning of Jesus' message when he said, "And to love your neighbor as yourself." Let's try this coming week to look at someone who is pushing your buttons too hard. Surely there's somebody out there who's being hammered. You know, who might be overbearing and too physical for your comfort level? You know, this person is just getting in your space, your face. I ask you to look at them hard. Make your request to stop what they're doing short and with grace. Then turn the other cheek and walk away. God will be walking right next to you. You know, these are all very philosophical words. A lot of people would say, yeah, that's great, but you're not the one with the child in school that's being harassed. I'm not anymore. My children have grown up and have children of their own. And I'm not the one personally who's being harassed, but I know of someone who is. And take the high road. Always take the high road. In the end, no matter what you had to sacrifice to get on that high road, you will be much better off. Sever a relationship if it's poison. Sever communications if necessary. But Jesus gave the platform. Jesus gave the platform and said, you know, I'm not here to change the law, to tell you to break the law. I'm here to fulfill the law. I'm your example of how I want you to live here on earth. And if you follow my example, you will have a much happier life. Don't get caught up in the drama of other people's stuff. Don't feel like each day has to be one of those, oh God, I got to go there again. And I know this person is going to be right there in my face and, you know, just pounding on me. And the answer is not to pound back. It's not to retaliate. It's, and I'm going to say this word, and I'll probably have 10 people knocking on my door if they knew where I lived. Ready to, you know, ask me what the heck I was talking about. But don't let someone create you to be anybody other than who you are. Because who you are is how God made you. Who you are is his masterpiece. Why throw mud on it? You know, we're all going to make mistakes. I mean, none of us can walk the walk that Jesus walked, step by step. It's not going to happen because we're not perfect. He was. He is. But that being said, it's our job to walk that walk as close as we can. That's our job. And it's hard. No one's going to tell you it's easy. I struggle with it every day. So that basically is my message. that's my words, and I'm sticking to it. Yes. Now, before we leave you, I do have a few things I want to say. Next week, we're going to have a young gentleman by the name of Kevin L. Now, Kevin L. is a, I'm going to love to hear this, is a hip-hop gospel singer. Yes, you heard me. Hip-hop gospel. I'm ready for this. And I think you're going to find him a very deep person. I will try to do the show in the regular order, but I can't guarantee that now, can I? And along with that, we're going to switch gears. We've been on the Nature of Jesus type series without a series for a while. And we're going to switch gears and go into a new program starting next week. And I'm going to tell you it has to do with worship. Now, like I said last week, we're going to be starting a little trivia game for all you regular listeners, and I'll try and unfold that next week and get everything set up on the website for that. So with that, I am going to say, once again, please do not break under the weight of a bully. And I hope you have a great week, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.